Let me see if I can embarrass her a little bit. That's our song leader's wife, if you did, you probably know that. And our wonderful Lord delivered John Reeves several years ago, right under this ministry. And Kathy didn't like that one little bit. And she didn't like me one little bit. And she told her husband I had brainwashed him. And she fought that, and one day the Lord delivered her, sitting right back there close to where Roger Deaver is. The light came on. Now she's a dedicated wife to one of our deacons, singing praises to the one she hated and despised. And that's God's grace. That's God's grace. Now her raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Thank you, Kathy. Love you. Our first speaker tonight is Pastor Donnie Bell, pastor of Satanic Grace Church in Crossville, Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. And he was here one other time, not with Mary. She couldn't make it. And we were so blessed, Brother Donnie, with your preaching. I hope you don't fire a dud. You won't. You come, and God bless you. I've never heard you do that yet. I got that from Walter Gruber, by the way. He said that right from his pulpit. You come, and the Lord bless you as you preach His gospel for His glory. I love you.
I do. All right. I hope I don't either, I tell you. Like old Scott Richardson said, I don't want to embarrass God, and I don't want to embarrass myself either. Romans 1. Can I move these like this? And it's just wonderful to be here, and I am thankful that Mary got to come and y'all get to meet her. I'm going to tell y'all something, that she is 15, not 17. First date we went on, I proposed to her, and she says, man, this guy's lost his mind. Well, we're married 44 years in September. Amen. 44 years. You know, we raised one another. Well, we've just been together all our lives. I don't know. Been together our whole lives. And it's wonderful. Thank you, Brother Gene, for allowing me to come out and have me to come out. Look with me here in Romans chapter 1, and let's go through. I'm going to read 4 verses of Scripture and hope by God's grace to make a few comments on them. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And here's why I wasn't ashamed of it. And this is why it's the power of God to salvation. Because in this gospel, God's righteousness is revealed. God's righteous character, His righteous nature, and how He gives a righteousness. And how we obtain that righteousness, revealed from faith, the faith that the gospel produces in us as we hear it, that's the gift of God to the faith that's always growing as it hears the gospel. And as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now my message is, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of the gospel. 3 things I want you to look at here about what the Apostle Paul here. 3 things about him. In verse 14, we have his burden. He said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. I'm a debtor to him. His burden was that he wanted to get the gospel. He wanted to preach the gospel. Whether you was a Greek, whether you was a barbarian, and you lived in a remote area, it made no difference to him. And whether you're a wise man in your own eyes or whether you're unwise, he made no distinctions in men. And he had a great burden for them. That's why he says, you know, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Israel for God for Israel is that they might be saved. And he said, I could wish myself, God's the Holy Ghost bears witness to me, I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So that's the kind of burden he had to get the gospel to men and women, no matter where they were. And then look at his boldness in verse 2. So as much as, in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I'm ready to preach. I mean, he's bold. When I get there, I'm going to preach. I'm not going to debate. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to fuss and fight with you over things. I'm going to declare the gospel unto you. I'm going to declare the Son of God, the Son of David, in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to come to do. He says, I may be bound, but the Word of God's not bound. So I'm coming, and I'm ready. As much as in me is, I'm ready. And to preach the gospel to you. So he's very bold, and he was going to come preach the gospel. And then his belief in verse 16. He had a burden and he was very bold in his belief was, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not ashamed of it. Glorious gospel of Christ. Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And you know he told Timothy, he said, Timothy, be not ashamed of me, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor his gospel, whereof I'm a prisoner. Don't you be ashamed of it. I may be in jail, I may be in prison, but don't you be ashamed of me because I'm here for the gospel's sake, and don't you be ashamed of the gospel. When folks, you get up to preach and they say, well, this fella that you heard the gospel under, the fella that preached the gospel to you, he's over in jail, ain't he? Oh, yeah, he is. Well, don't you be ashamed of me. I'm here for the gospel, and you get up and you preach the gospel. Don't you be ashamed of me. And notice where Paul wanted to preach the gospel at. In verse 15, he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that at Rome. I want to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. You know, he wanted to preach it to wise and unwise, barbarians and Greeks, but I want to come to Rome, preach the gospel to you there. Now you see, Rome at this particular time was the mightiest city in the world. Oh, it ruled the world. Rome was a huge, what armies they had. What the Caesars. Oh, and it was the legislative capital of the world at this time. And it was the most learned city. Mighty, the buildings, the baths, the Roman baths. The painters, all the famous painters that were there. The orators, the philosophers. And also at the same time, it was one of the most wicked. It is probably the most wicked city in all the world. Wicked, wicked city. And this was a place where men were just, it was a horrible place. Slaves abounded in that place. And this is where Paul said, I want to go preach the gospel. I want to go to this place that rules the world. I want to go to this place that's got all these beautiful buildings, got all these famous artists and painters and orators, got the Roman Senate, legislative capital of the world. That's where I want to go. And when he get there, he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel when I get there. Now most people, when they want to go to Rome, they want to go to Rome to see the Colosseum. They want to go to Rome to see a bunch of art. They want to go to see its theaters, its palaces, hear about its great histories. Maybe even go see the Pope. I wouldn't go see the Pope. Don't want nothing to do with him. But I'll tell you something, beloved. That's Paul said, I'm not going to Rome to sightsee. I'm not going to Rome to let everybody know how eloquent I am and how powerful I am and how popular I am. It was not to show himself off. He wouldn't go there, and this is where learned men went to Rome to show off their learning. They went there to publish their works. And the only reason that Paul had for going to Rome was for one reason, to preach the gospel. That's all. I got no reason to be in Rome unless I go there to preach the gospel. And he said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to Rome, he says, and that's why he told the Corinthians. He said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Now notice what his feelings were in his prospect of going to Rome. He says there in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now he's going to Rome, going up here and Of course, he never did get there. But this says this was his feeling. That his words, he got there when he got up there and got beheaded. But these are the words. These words are full of meaning. Remarkable words. When he says, I'm not ashamed. He's saying what this is. They're saying this. I glory only in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is my boast. That is my glory. That is what I rejoice in. That is my only hope, is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed that the way of righteousness through the cross, through the death, through the substitutionary sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. That he said, I'm not ashamed of glorying in what somebody else did, not anything I did, what he did. And when I come, I'm coming with words. I'm not coming with a sword. I'm not coming to show my eloquence. I'm not coming to show my learning. I'm not coming to talk about all my accomplishments. I'm coming to preach the gospel to you, and that alone. And I'm going to glory in one thing, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that death is my only hope. And he wasn't ashamed. You see, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel before God. Now, this is where rubber hits the road. I'm not ashamed of the gospel before God, because the gospel, he rested his eternal salvation on the blood and righteousness of Christ. And that's where I stand before God right now. I wouldn't stand before God on any other ground than the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't stand before God on any other ground other than the righteousness of Christ and the blood of Christ and the merits of Christ. I would not, and that's what Paul says, we rest our eternal salvation on this blessed man. And he said, that's why I'm not ashamed. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I've done been persuaded. God persuaded me, the Holy Ghost persuaded me, that whatever I've committed unto him against that day, he's able to keep it. Amen. And oh, beloved, I'm telling you, and he said, and I'll tell you this. He said in Galatians 2:21, if righteousness come by anything I did or anybody else did, then Christ is dead in vain. If you can have a righteousness, and that's what he's going up there to preach. If you can have a righteousness by thought, by feeling, by deed, by an act of your own doing, then Christ is dead in vain. Ain't that what he said? And I tell you what, he was like David. He is like David when David says, you know, it may not be so with my house. My house may be in a mess. My children may end up being infidels, I don't know. But he said, I may not be so with my house, but I know this, that God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, and this is all my salvation. This is all my desire. Amen. You see, he knew he had no other way of access to God, no other way of acceptance with God. If this gospel of the power of God unto righteousness, power of God to salvation, if this gospel failed, if the gospel of Christ fails, then everything else fails. Huh? Then we're of all men most miserable. We're so deceived, and we got a false hope. And that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. And I tell you, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel before men. Oh, Mr. Bunyan, in his Pilgrim's Progress, he has a character in there called Mr. Shame. Mr. Shame. And there's been times that all of us has done things we're ashamed of. But there's one thing we're not ashamed of, and we're not ashamed of the gospel before men. Whether, no matter where we are, whether we're in a grocery store, whether we're in the gym, whether we're in a hotel, whether we're talking to our neighbor, we're not ashamed of the gospel before men. Now, many are. Many are. They're afraid of it. They're ashamed of it. There's people who tell you right quick, I cannot believe what you all do. But I tell you something, every believer that knows the gospel of Christ is not ashamed of it. Not ashamed of it. Love to tell it. He desired to proclaim the gospel, and if he could, to the whole world at once. Wouldn't you love to have the opportunity to have one of these stadiums filled up with people, with all these false preachers that Joel Osteen can get to people, Wouldn't you love to have the crowd that Joel Osteen and just get to preach the gospel one time? Wouldn't you like to have the opportunity to preach one time to the multitude that Billy Graham could get to preach to? God open doors for us and give us the opportunity to preach the gospel. Give us a hearing in this day. Open up doors for us to preach the gospel of Christ, because men and women do not know it. This is an age in which men and women, beloved, need desperately the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need a gospel that declares a righteousness that they can't produce, that they have no way of access, no way of acceptance before God, except through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other righteousness but the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way to call on God except through Jesus Christ. No other way to lift their hearts up to God except through Jesus Christ. No other way to even consider God apart from Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. And many would have sneered at him coming to Rome. You mean you're just going to come up here and stand up and open your mouth and start talking? That's all I'm going to do. You're not going to have a chalkboard to describe some things to us? No. Oh, they would have sneered at him coming to Rome with just words. That's why they said when he was on Mars Hill and the Epicureans and the Stoics were there and Paul began to preach and they said, let's see what this babbler's going to say. He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. He preaches Jesus and him resurrected from the dead. Oh my, let's see what he's going to say. They understood quickly that this man come there with nothing but the gospel. And he stood before Festus and he is telling Festus about the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ, and how he was needed Christ. And old Festus said, oh, Paul, wait a minute. You have learned so much that you've lost your mind because you don't talk to a king like you talk to me. And Paul said, oh, no, I'm speaking forth the words of soberness and righteousness and justice. And oh, Festus, I'm not mad. You're the one in trouble, not me. And oh, beloved, he just come there preaching a righteousness without words. And beloved, he didn't care. He was not ashamed. Many would have sneered at him from coming to such a wicked place preaching another's righteousness. But he wasn't ashamed, for he knew the gospel was their only hope. And that's why, beloved, that's why every time we meet, we got to preach the gospel. Let me give you some reasons why some men are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let me give you some reasons why some men are ashamed of the gospel. The natural man is ashamed of the gospel because it seems foolishness unto them. Now, I've run across this. I couldn't tell you the times, and you have too. When you start talking about salvation by another, salvation by another's doing, salvation by another's dying, salvation accomplished that you have no part in, they automatically start saying, well, that's foolish. That don't even make sense. That wasn't the way I was raised. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. There's a young man in our congregation. He's dating a young girl, and she was in our conference last week. She's been to several of our meetings. And she told him, she said, I don't understand the word they're saying. I don't understand the word they're saying. And he told her, he says, you know why? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He told her that. And he says, you know, and he says, you just keep coming and listening, and God, turn the light on. Maybe God will turn the light on. And she'd ask him all kinds of questions. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? And that's why, because when they hear it, they just can't get it. They just cannot get it. They sit and they wonder, what in the world is he talking about? Talking about another man's righteousness. Well, my righteousness is all right. Talking about somebody else's merit. My merit's all right. Talking about somebody else's work, my works are all right. they're ashamed of it. And oh, beloved, they're ashamed of it because of the way it deals with human reasoning and human understanding and reasoning, wisdom and reasoning. You know, you go to any college, go to any college in America, go to the Princeton, Harvard, Yale, UCLA, go to any of them and see if you can find anybody that knows the gospel. Anybody that even would allow you to open a Bible in one of their classes. You know why? Because they're too smart. They're too wise. And they got it all reasoned out. But let me tell you something, beloved. This gospel is by the revelation of the Spirit of God. If you ever have any understanding of it, if you ever know anything about it, the Spirit of God's got to reveal it to you. Our Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. He can see church membership. He can see tithing. He can see doing good deeds. He can see going to an altar. He can see all kinds of things. He can see quitting bad habits and taking up new ones. But he can't see the kingdom of God except he's born again. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, and the man can't do this by himself. He can't be born. What did you have to do with your first birth? And he said, that's the same thing in this new birth. He said, the Spirit of the Lord blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof and you see the effect. But it's the Spirit of God that's got to do it. And the Spirit of God's got to come and quicken a man and give him sight and give him ears and got to do something for him. John 3:27 said, a man can receive nothing except it's given him, given to him from heaven. I mean, even us as believers, we can't receive nothing unless God gives it to us from heaven. How many times have we been hearing something, somebody preach or something said, well, I never saw that before. God just gave you something from heaven. That's right. And oh, beloved, the gospel only knows one way to be saved. You see, everyone's not righteous. Everyone doesn't have good points. They say, well, he's got some good points, you know. No, no, nobody's got any good points. Nobody's righteous. It's not like let's all just love Jesus and we'll all meet in the sweet by and by. I hear people say all the time, there's got to be the more than one way to get there. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Amen. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You can't speak to God. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, you can't even speak to him except by me. And I tell you, beloved, this idea that let's all just love Jesus and we'll all get along in the sweet by and by. And I tell you something, beloved, anybody, I have no confidence in anybody's profession unless they believe the gospel of the grace of God and the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ and preach that, believe that, and walk and talk that. And I have no confidence in a man's profession that doesn't do that. Now, ain't that right? I'm talking about folks that profess it. You know this idea of, well, my Armenian brethren. There's folks that say they're Calvinists and they preach the gospel and they talk about their Armenian brethren. I got no Armenian brethren.
No, sir.
I've got no Armenian brethren. As old Scott Richardson said, if I don't catch you in Adam, I'll catch you in Christ. But I tell you, the only relationship we have that all of us have is our relationship in Adam, and the only other relationship we'll ever have is the one we have in Christ. And I tell you something, beloved, I got no Armenian brethren. I don't have them. I just, this idea, and I tell you something, I'll quit preaching and talking then. Let me tell you something, this business of so many people, why a man can claim to be a Calvinist and preach the doctrines of grace and be so popular and get along so well in the world is because he makes his tent so big that allows everything and everybody to get in it. And you understand what I'm saying? That the charismatics can get in, the Armenians can get in, and they just can take everything in. But beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's why I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it wherever we go. And that's why Paul says to the philosopher and intellectual, they say, well, that's just too simple. They say it's just too simple. And we say God says. We say God says. And one thing people cannot stand is for one being so positive and secure in their position. Are you sure you're right? Positive.
Amen.
Would you change what? No, I ain't changing thing. They can't stand one being so secure and so positive in their message. We say God says, and they say, but I think. We said God said. But I believe. We say God says. Well, we say God says. But no, we said God says. don't we, Don? God says, and that's the end of the matter. That's the end of the matter for my children, end of the matter for the church, end of the matter for Mary, end of the matter for me, end of the matter for you. When God says, that's it.
Amen.
Now, you're either going to believe it or we're not. And that, and they just, I can't stand that, people say. And many are ashamed of it because it's all against the notions of human ability. Man talks about his human ability. Oh, the power of the human mind. Oh, the power of a man's ability. If you'll tell men and get up and preach to them that they have the will, they have the rights within themselves to save themselves, as it's up to them to make the choice, that Christ died to make them savable, they'll understand that and they'll believe that. That feeds their ego. That boosts their ego. That feeds their pride. What was that sign we saw on the back of that car coming out of the airport? Person had it around their license plate. He says, "Give Jesus a chance. He died to make salvation possible for you. Died to give you a chance." Oh my, Gene said, "Oh, listen there." He could have said, "Now Don, you'll say something about that before I get a chance." And I did. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. That's utter and absolute blasphemy. If we'll preach that Christ died to make them savable, they can understand that. They'll believe that. That feeds their pride. That boosts their ego. But the gospel doesn't tell men that. You know what the gospel says? It says you're a worm. That all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. You're grasshoppers. Huh? Clay in the hands of the potter. He can make you a vessel of honor or he can make you a vessel of dishonor. He can do anything he wants to with you. And when men hear God and the crown set on his holy head and men see him in his glorious holiness, oh, as they do like Job and put their hand over their mouth and say, "Oh, I've heard about God and I've talked about God and I've bragged about my relationship with God, but I'm going to shut up because I found out I didn't know nothing and I'm going to get out in the dust and the ashes and I abhor myself." And oh, beloved, that's what the gospel will bring a man to. And that gospel is a God will and you shall. God shall and you will. That's what we need. A God must save. And a Christ to a sufficient and an effectual Redeemer. When he died, he actually put sin away for his people. When he died, he actually atoned for all the sins of all of his elect for all time and all eternity. If there's one sin left that Christ didn't atone for, one sin left for you and I to have to deal with, every single one of us will end up in hell. Oh, listen, Christ is sufficient. Christ is effectual. His blood actually puts sin away. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And as it is written, they shall all be taught in the prophets, and everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father, he'll come to me." And I tell you, that's this human ability business. That's free will is the God of this age. It's the God of this age. I'll tell you another reason why men are ashamed of the gospel. And preachers won't preach it because it destroys their idea of human merit. Human merit. You see, man hates to part with his merit. He hates to part with his righteousness. You know, he'll part with a lot of things, but boy, that righteousness, he don't want to give that up. He don't want to let it go. That's the last thing Paul let go. That's the last thing any of us let go. A man hates to part with his righteousness. I was up years ago preaching in a place in Corbin, Kentucky. And I preached 7 days up there. And finally, a couple of nights before the meeting was over, an old woman got up. And she stood up and faced the whole congregation. She said, "Do you know what this man's been saying about you this week? Have y'all heard what he said? He says you're all sinners. He says that you all ain't got nothing to contribute. That you have no merit. He said, "Surely you don't believe that," she said. Oh, it was awful. Oh, he's been saying awful things about you. And I'll tell you something, beloved, it's not a man's badness that keeps him from Christ. It's his goodness.
Yeah.
It's not his immorality, but it's his morality. It's not his dishonesty, but his honesty. It's not his sin that keeps a man from Christ, but his righteousness. That's what keeps him from it. You know, our old James Hervey, before he got converted, he went out to see an old farmer one time, fell into church, and he was standing there talking to him, and he said, called the old farmer's name, and he said, "I think it's harder for us to part with our bad works than it is our good works." And oh, the farmer said, "Oh, Mr. Hervey," said, I don't want to disagree with you, and I beg your pardon, but I have found it's harder to part with my good works than it is my bad ones. Oh, that's the thing. It's harder to let go of what we consider ourselves to be right about and good about. And right, that righteousness is the last thing to go. Oh, my. There's three things a man has to part with. He got to part with his sins, his sin, and he does his sins because he's a sinner, and he's got to part with his righteousness. Paul said, "I count everything that I ever believed, my righteousness and everything, but dung, that I might win Christ." And I tell you something else that makes him ashamed. His salvation by grace through Christ alone destroys human merit. I mean, man has no merit. Look with me over in Matthew chapter 9 with me just a moment. Matthew chapter 9. You know, the scripture said, I believe it's in Psalm 53 maybe, or Psalm 14, maybe both of them, where it says, God went looking for a good man. He went looking for somebody that would understand. And you know what conclusion he came to? He said, there's none good, there's none righteous, there's none that understandeth, and there's not one soul seeking after me. Now that's what he said about the whole, he said, there's none, he went looking, and when God looks for something, don't you reckon he can find it? When he knows your thoughts are far off and we're as transparent to him as glass. And he went looking all over the world, and that means if he's looking at us right now, he'd say, let me see if I can find a good one among that bunch. I don't see one. Let me see if I can find somebody that understands me, understands my holiness, my righteousness, my sovereignty, my power, my glory, my rights, my authority, my will, my covenants, my purpose. No, don't see any of them either. He said, let me see if I can find somebody righteous. I didn't find one of them either. Didn't find a one. And then he turns right around. And by the gospel, he makes bad men good. He makes men who have no righteousness, gives them a righteousness, and makes those who wasn't seeking him, seek him for all their lives. Don't he? Look in Matthew 9 and verse 13. Or not 11, excuse me. Matthew 9:11. Talking about salvation by grace through Christ alone destroys all human merit. And when the Pharisees saw it, that Christ was eating with publicans and sinners, they said unto him, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole don't need a physician. If you're well, don't have no sickness, you don't need to go to the doctor. You don't need a doctor. But you go and you learn what that means. You learn what I'm telling you. You learn what it means that if you're not sick, you don't need a doctor. And if you need a doctor, you need a physician. You need somebody to heal you, somebody to take care of your disease. But you go and learn what that meaneth. I'll have mercy. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have mercy. I don't want your sacrifice. I don't want any sacrifice you bring. I don't want any works of your hands. I don't want anything that you've got to offer, because I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I tell you, beloved, if a man can be saved or accepted because of some goodness they have or a good deed they've done, then Christ, why in the world did he die? And there's an old hymn that says, "Self-righteous souls who on works rely and boast their moral dignity, they despise to say, 'I'm a poor sinner and nothing all. Jesus Christ is my all in all.'" Don will tell you this. This is the truth. Years ago, you all know that tract, old Jack the Huckster? Jack the Huckster. That thing was circulating several years ago, and there's some men, didn't they, Don, who said they believed the gospel, said they was preaching the gospel, but they despised that. They despised that. "I'm a poor sinner, nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all." They just utterly despised that. They said that made the gospel too simple. Said that made the gospel just being, you know, it took all the power out of the gospel. But I tell you what, I'm a poor sinner, nothing at all. And Jesus Christ is my all in all. And boy, I tell you, they're ashamed of the gospel because it makes no distinction in mankind. No distinction whatsoever. God is no respecter of persons. And they'll say that what we preach, because we preach God's electing grace, that God chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world, that God has a people that He put all their sin away once and for all. And they say what we preach makes God a respecter of persons, but it doesn't. No, what they preach does, because they say that God has to go looking for a man who will believe, who will repent. You got to find somebody that will do what He tells them to do. But God looks at all men exactly the same. Lost, sinners, rebels, no high, no low, no rich, no poor, no learned or unlearned. And here's the thing, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Christ makes all men, moral, immoral, whatever they may think they are, go to heaven exactly the same way. Do you know Mary Magdalene, out of whom Christ cast 7 devils, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to be saved exactly the same way? Christ made no distinction between them. And if you know, most folks say, boy, that just, but I tell you, that's exactly so. If you find a woman on Skid Row, and you find a woman, you say, boy, that's one of the virtuous women I've ever met. If they ever, both of them, go to glory, it'll be because Christ died for them and Christ made atonement for their soul. Amen. And their sin. That's the only way. Can't be no other way. And I'll tell you something else, and I'll hurry. A lot of people are ashamed of the preachers and teachers of the gospel. You know, they said about our Lord Jesus Christ. They said, listen to claims this man's making. Well, his mother's here with us, his brother's here with us, and ain't this the son of Mary and Joseph, the carpenter's son? We his brother and sister, we know all of them. So how in the world does he say that he's the Christ? They have a problem with it. They said about Simon Peter and John and James, they said, these are ignorant and unlearned men. They're ashamed of his preachers and teachers. And they said about Paul, his speech was weak and his bodily presence was contemptible. And we have this treasure in just earthen vessels, clay pots. And people will perish because they stumble over a fault in a man instead of believing the gospel. You know how many people turned against Paul because of his bodily presence and his speech? They said, I don't want to hear that fella. But oh my. Ashamed of the gospel. If you don't have a doctor before your name now, you're nobody. But Paul didn't call himself a doctor. He called himself a preacher. Yes, sir. Christ called himself a preacher. Peter called himself a preacher. They didn't ever refer to one another as Dr. So-and-so. PhD this and PhD that. What school did you graduate from? What grades did you make? What seminary did you go to? What in the world does that have to do with the gospel? And I tell you what, God takes the weak and the contemptible and the lowest, and that's who He saves, and that's who He calls to preach His gospel. The least likely. Ain't that right? And so that's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because I have no ability. I have no merit. I have no righteousness. I got nothing to commend myself to God. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because in that gospel, God revealed His righteousness to me. He revealed to me the way of righteousness through another, through the doing of the Lord Jesus Christ, through His obedience, through His merit, through His value, through His worth, through His blessed work, through His blessed person. And His righteousness is mine. You know, we talk about imputed righteousness. That's true. But Christ is he is my righteousness. He is my righteousness. More than imputed, He Himself is my righteousness. I don't have it pasted on. He's my righteousness. And the gospel revealed that to me. Well, the Lord bless you.